whole purposes that you don't need.
Maybe it's a blessing I didn't take that bit of word stuff from it.
Yeah.
Well, we have a quorum at least.
Just barely.
They're stuck on the side of the road.
It's slick out there.
Yeah.
It's really slick.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Time we go home.
Anything you can do to jam it up a little bit? Okay. Oh, I should probably do that someday.
It is lengthy.
So guys, we might talk boards and committees next meeting when Amanda's here, and then we'll have it printed out. I think it's all in the cloud, and so when I send it to people like Ray, it doesn't work very well, so I didn't get it printed for y'all.
Do we have anything coming up that needs attention right away?
So, I think we're okay, other than I just hate that it's undone. So we barely have a quorum.
She's not gonna be here?
What about these two?
Jesse and Charlie are.
Jesse, because he had a question on resolution, the one that she signed on his Christus. Figure he'll be here.
Guys didn't notice any slick roads out there, did you? It's about as close to black ice as we get.
As we get.
I called Tanya and said we should cancel the meeting, but it didn't work.
It didn't work.
I don't, the school district did their recording calls, so two buses were involved in accidents. Like, I got the call within 5 minutes of each other, and I thought, wow, it's been crazy out there. I'm just gonna stall a bit, you guys, sorry.
Did you get my message with the guys from Grant Street? They'll be here about, they were gonna come tonight, the Grant Street grocery guys.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I left it on your work phone.
I probably could have missed that.
Yeah, well, they were gonna be here, I told them about 6:45, so we're in here.
Chris.
So at the end.
Oh, the person to person. They gotta come up to speed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago. He's got great caregivers, and I keep him. From the Rotarian. So I surprised him with Buffalo burgers a week ago. And he loved it.
I'm assuming he's just kind of question.
Just something out of the ordinary. I said, you haven't had
one. Knew what was happening. Jesse wanted that.
Yeah.
That's important for you.
Tell Chris and Jesse, how much do you have that you need to tell us?
I felt we would discuss that resolution item. And then I had one Scribner's error that I was just gonna point out for the record. And
just wanted to know if it's for discussion.
Pardon me?
Resolution names up for discussion.
And then we've got the public hearing on the relocation of the liquor license, but that's pretty mundane.
So we're okay if we stall a little bit?
Yeah, camera.
Unless you all had something. We did have Cindy here on some of the length of history with the electronic license.
You get new cards? Does that come with a raise?
Yeah.
It's a huge raise.
It's enormous.
What's that? Yeah.
Do we have to?
You can wait until
make it through the slick roads.
It's kind of deceiving. We haven't had it just.
The roads aren't. Well, it's all those people parked in the middle of the road. That's always the problem on a day like this. Oh, coffee. What a great idea.
This group was outstanding and they were so dressed down that because they wanted to fit in and relate.
Okay.
So you could even.
And I hate to combine the two because it almost doesn't recognize these guys.
Yeah, you could.
Okay, I think we'll go ahead and get started. We are trying to schedule the annual Amoco Joint Powers Board Commission Council meeting. So we've got a couple dates I want to run past you guys to see if one's better than another. It'd be at 4 o'clock in the evening on April 12th or May 10th. Does anybody know if one of those would be terrible?
You say April 12th?
Yep, April 12th. That doesn't conflict with like any budget stuff going on.
What kind of a day is that, can you?
It's a Wednesday.
Both of them are Wednesdays.
Are they both Wednesdays?
Yep. Budget's April 17th.
Thank you.
19th and 20th.
Okay. Okay, good.
So maybe May is better.
May what?
Did you say 10th? May 10th? I vote for May 10th.
Yeah, 10th is looking good.
What time? I can do that.
Four. You can.
I may have a conflict on the 12th of April, so I'm not sure.
I should be okay with that, too.
Okay, so we're just going to go for the 10th.
Okay.
Great. And I'm sure we'll have more information.
That'll be at their room, I assume.
Where was it last year?
We did it over there.
Yeah, I would assume the same place.
Yeah.
Okay, so we probably don't need this one. We've got it for the name. Okay, questions on the agenda?
My only question is on the recycling thing. That what happens if we don't?
What's that?
Oh, the coffee creamer is old.
Which one are you looking at? The recycling.
The recycling.
Okay, Your Honor. And Council, we discussed this one this morning in our department head meeting, and we've invited Cindy Langston to give a little bit of history on this, because we went back through the history of what started in 2007, what changed in 2009 on not being able to bury it at the landfill. We found it very enlightening, and I think Cindy would like to share some of the history on electronic waste as to what's gone from the days that we could just toss it to where it stands now. And again, just the contract before you tonight is to go ahead and ship it down to Colorado. So, Cindy.
Your Honor, Council people, electronics waste is an interesting recycling program. The reason we really started it was your constituents demanded it from you all, because it was a very big national news story back in the early 2000s, particularly when China and some of the third world countries, you saw the little kids and they were melting the electronics and it was really bad for the environment. And so they started certification programs and the EPA did a bunch of things to improve how electronic waste is being handled. And then a little group in Torrington, Wyoming, which is interesting, Wyoming, and their little groups, they got a gal who was really into recycling. And she wanted to recycle, so they did it in Torrington. So then all the community, this little community can do it, we can probably do it. And as I will tell all of you, recycling is a service and it costs money. So it's nice to do, but you have to consider the costs, and electronics waste has been very costly. When we first started into the program back then, if you remember when we went from analog to digital TVs, how that year, it was like $90,000. And so I talked to my department head at that time and said, you know, we really need to take TVs out of this, because that's the hardest thing to recycle too, because it really just has a lot of glass. And glass takes a lot of energy to melt down and get the lead out. So we changed the definition of electronics and we didn't include TVs. And so now it's been anywhere from $25,000 to $50,000 a year to do our electronic waste. And we've been really, really fortunate for the last 2 years with NowCap, because NowCap actually employed people in our community and they were only charging us 15 cents per pound. So that worked really well. But originally when we started the program in 2007, what Liz was referring to is council decided to charge them and we were charging $10 for every computer you brought in or electronic unit. We got a lot of complaints from the public at that time because they didn't want to pay the 10 bucks. So we'd see them in alleys and ditches. And so council said, what can we do about that? So now they think it's free, but it's really not. Because in 2009, we actually changed the rate structure. And City of Casper residents actually pay for electronic waste. It was like it went up to $4.12 or something, as one of the increases was at 12 cents. It was just for the electronics. So every resident in the City of Casper pays 12 cents a month to recycle. And then for the county folks, we increased the tipping fee, and they're paying through the tipping fee at the landfill. So their private haulers are paying for the electronics. So they think it's free when they come to the landfill because they're paying through their trash collection fees. So we are recovering our costs, but in a time when you want to cut budgets, electronics or any kind of recycling is actually what you should look at first, just low-hanging fruit. It is, you know, a lot of people argue that it's environmentally responsible, like the Torrington folks did, because most electronics, when you recycle them, they are reused. So that part of it is good. So we've kind of had a history of that, but it's, you know, I was telling Andrew, it's probably going to go up triple when we have to do a competitive RFP, because now CAP has just been really, really a good partnership with their low costs. So that's why it's so costly. That $57,400 is the worst case scenario. And that was everything brought in was TVs, and we're actually pretty good about screening TVs. So we may get one or two a year that my staff misses before it gets hauled off. But it's probably more going to come in at $25,000 per year, because that 10 cents per pound for the computers, we have a pretty high compliance rate with our waste screening on electronics. So that's the worst case scenario. So that's another thing you could do. You could just limit the contract on how much you wanted to actually pay for recycling instead of the maximum amount. So there is a ban. In 2009, City Council did ban electronics along with metals. Metals have been banned for a long time just as a standard practice, but it hadn't been put into an ordinance. So there is an ordinance that bans electronics from the landfill. And DEQ just bans it from unlined facilities. They allow it in line facilities. So if you guys change the ordinance, we could put it in the line facility, but not the unlined facility. And I'm kind of hoping someday to actually get them to change the unlined, because we don't have acidic conditions. Actually, it break down the glass, and so it could leach out the lead, but we don't have that condition. So it would be more cost effective if we decided to start landfilling it to actually put it in the unlined cell instead of the line cell, but right now we don't have permission to do that.
Go ahead, Bob.
If we go with these guys, $57,000, obviously they're getting rid of it somewhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I look at, they're charging us $57,000, they will get the gold and the copper. Those are probably the only two things that are markable out of the whole thing. I mean, glass is nothing but sand. So I guess I'm a little concerned about spending that kind of money. I think, from my opinion, we ought to change course and put it in the line place.
Chris?
Yeah, I think it probably started as a feel-good measure that it's a feel-good measure. If we stopped, it can go in our lined landfills.
If you change the city ordinance.
If we change the city ordinance.
Yes.
And we don't spend $57,000 to have it hauled away. I'm going to oppose it. I hate to have you give the same speech out in council, but I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
That's why you asked me here, so no worries.
Why did NOCAP stop?
You know, it's mostly was funded by the federal government. They had big grants, and they lost it. And it's really kind of sad for them. It really did employ, I think, 5 to 10 people in their processing. Mm-hmm. So, and it is costly. That's why they charge us down there. And that the other most competitive bid was in California. Now there's no way going to haul it all the way to California. So.
What would it cost if we paid NOWCAP?
You know, that's a really interesting question because I actually thought of that. And what they said was they lost a $300,000 a year grant. So I didn't even propose that unless you guys really want me to look more into it. But that's what they told me, it was $300,000 grant.
Wow, okay.
Thanks, Your Honor. Cindy, is that dumb? That's at least $25,000 per year for a 5-year contract.
It is.
With the upside being $50,000.
Yes. $25,000 per year is the minimum one would spend.
Right. Yeah. Thanks.
Madam Mayor?
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Let me do Charlie first, and then I'll catch you, Bill.
Cindy, one of the arguments for recycling is to extend the life of the landfill and have our lined facilities last longer. Is there any significant benefit there?
We do save some space, but if you look at the cost-benefit analysis, it's not enough space to actually justify the cost. So that's why raising the rates was necessary to cover those costs, because I guess you could say fortunate or unfortunate, our land at the landfill is very cost effective and it's cheaper than most places in the United States to bury.
Okay, Bill, sorry.
I just wanted to add, this is a 5-year contract. However, there's a provision that provides that we can terminate it during the 5 years at any time upon 30 days notice. And so I don't know what the time, if you would entertain wanting to change your ordinance. Of course, that requires 3 readings to get it to council. And if you don't move forward with this, I'm not sure what the timing is for items to build up at the landfill. But I wanted to let you know you do have a transition here that you can use with a 30-day termination clause.
Just like I said, with DEQ and our permit, we don't have any violations. It's more about your own internal ordinance that's the issue. So if you guys directed me to landfill it, we could do it tomorrow. So it's kind of up to you.
I guess the other thing that concerns me is when I look at the number of CFLs that are going in the landfill, there's mercury in every one of those CFLs, and that's going to far outweigh anything we get off of a TV set. We'll see mercury in the effluent, and we can actually get that out of there. Should it ever become a problem. But when you look at the volumes of what the chemistry involves in, I bet money that CFLs are going to be a problem long before we have a problem with whatever leaches out of electronics.
Do currently divert CFLs through our hazardous waste program. And because we're a lined facility and it's going into a lined area, all of the groundwater is cleaned through the wastewater treatment plant. So it's really the unlined areas where we get into the real environmental issues. Yeah. And we're very, very particular about what goes in there.
So if this measure fails tonight, it doesn't put you into a significant bind as we rework the ordinance?
No, I would just probably ask the city manager's permission to landfill some of it and just make sure the public knows, because that's one thing in the past before I got here, they were landfilling a lot of recyclable materials, and we get into that, the city's lying to us about what they're doing with our recyclables, to make sure we do press releases and say, hey, it was too expensive, so we're going to start putting it in the landfill. But yeah, the storage, I probably have 3 months storage for e-waste. That's what my guys told me anyway, because we just got rid of some a couple months ago and the winter is a slow time. So operationally, it's not a problem. And if it became a problem, I'd be calling him and say, hey, I need to put it in the landfill.
Okay. Charlie.
So just to clarify, following up on Bob, if it's just the precious metals that are being pulled out, the rest of this is all ending up in someone else's landfill?
With electronic waste, excluding TVs, which we try not to include those, they do recycle all the plastic, all the metals, everything in there. They break it down, and that's why it's so expensive, is because they completely break it down. It's kind of interesting to do the tour at NOWCAP, because they unscrew every item. And an electronic device, even like a curling iron, you know, the plug, they strip off the plastic from all the wiring, and all the plastics go into one area, and they do recycle all the plastics and the metals. The one thing they don't recycle, and we try to keep those out of our diversion stream is, you know, you'll see some stereo systems that have wood, you know, their consoles or something, they don't. Those absolutely go to a landfill, and TVs will go into a landfill because they don't want to take the resources to get the lead out of the glass. So TVs and wood products end up in the landfill wherever it goes, and we try to keep those out of the waste stream. So I would say it's probably 96% of our waste stream is actually recycled, and the rest of it is landfilled.
One more question.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. What the contracts we have with outside folks, tipping fees and so forth, that are hauling stuff to our landfill. How would we handle that if we change our position? I mean, we don't know what they're putting in their trucks to put in our landfill anyway, right?
With the electronic waste that they bring in, and it's by contract, and Bill was brilliant with Tom Forslund and all those agreements out of the county, it's based on the Trona County rules. So if we change one of our rules, they have to change their rules. So if they're, and they are, Rollins and the Bags and Glen Rock, Douglas is doing their own e-waste recycling. So I would call them up and say, hey, we're no longer doing that. Put it in the waste stream and don't divert it. So it's as simple as really a phone call. And I think by agreement, I'm supposed to notify them in writing when we have a rule change or an ordinance change. But they have to comply with our rules.
So by voting no, we get the stigma of not being the planet friendly. We save, well, up to $57,000 a year at this contract. Who knows what the next one would be? And we've raised rates to cover this so we could pass on a rate decrease to people that are using the landfill because we're no longer using that service.
Look at that, yes.
Now, nobody wants to say that, but I mean, that's...
Or help to avoid a rate increase.
Mm-hmm. Or avoid a rate increase, but, yeah. I say smash it with a bulldozer.
Charlie.
I guess I'd also like to point out from an environmental standpoint, if we're hauling this stuff to where? Denver?
Yeah. It's Denver.
We're burning diesel fuel, putting those emissions in
we
the air.
We do like the environment.
Well, recycling in Casper is very problematic for
it
those
is.
Reasons, and people sometimes have a hard time realizing it is not really environmentally sound to recycle from here because of what it costs to ship the materials. And we have ample space to bury this stuff.
Yeah, good discussion for the floor so people know where we're coming from. Other questions on the agenda? Do you have any questions on the agenda?
Okay.
Yes, you've
Your
got
Honor,
a change.
We had wanted to note for the record a Scribner's error with number 6, item A2B, which has to deal with the issuance tonight. It's a consent item on the retail liquor license number 32, with going to Coto Casper. The memorandum that you all received in the packet on Friday noted retail liquor license number 31, it was just a typo. And so that has been corrected for the formal record. Everything here on our agenda is correct. It was just if you were studying the memo, it did say number 31 in one location, and we corrected that. So we did want to note it as a Scribner's error, and it has been corrected for the final record. That's all I had, Your Honor.
Anything else? Okay, you can head out.
Pardon?
Didn't have time to eat my apple.
Uh-oh.
Charlie?
Yes.
This is new. And
okay.
So do you have to
just
that
still
works?
Yeah,
I didn't know.
No, I'm fine.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah,
okay.
I just wanted to
play for that. Yeah, I thought we had the brownies.
A little bit.
Set
yeah, saw
just
a lot of racks.
So
I suppose
there
are
two bathrooms here.
I don't know what in the world they do with my